Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Girly Homesteader Podcast. On today's episode, I am sharing some of my favorite recipes and just kind of some meal ideas with all of the spring produce that might be coming from your garden already or will be coming in the hopefully near future. So stay tuned. I have quite a bit to talk about. This might end up being a long episode because I love food. Hello and welcome to season 3 of the Girly Homesteader Podcast, the show that's definitely not your typical homesteading podcast. I'm your host, Laura, a girly homesteader living in Xenia, Ohio, with my husband, chickens, bees, and garden. On this weekly show, we'll cover the typical stuff, like gardening and chicken lady life, but we also go beyond the farm and talk about things like goal setting, makeup, planners, skincare, and staying in tune with nature's seasons. I've considered myself a homesteader for the past 3 years now, and in 2024, I'm hoping to hone the skills I've learned and continue to share those experiences with you. So, welcome to this girlier side of homesteading, where we can grow and flourish together. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Grow and Flourish Planner, the garden and homestead planner I developed that goes beyond the farm because it helps you set goals and discover which facets of your homestead life need the most attention and which facets deserve celebrating. In this second edition of my planner, you get over 225 color-coded and seasonal pages of planning, documentation, and introspection. It starts out with a yearly overview, including the Grow and Flourish assessment, that helps you prioritize areas of your life, like relationships, homestead production, work, health, and more. The planner is then divided and color-coded into the four seasons, with each season having a check-in assessment, a space to consolidate notes from last year, map the garden, plan your plantings, track your seed starting, track soil health and amendments, write down seasonal meals, inventory your seeds, summarize the season, and more. Each season is then broken down into months with summary pages, daily rhythms, weekly planning, day-by-day tracking, harvest tracking, and egg production pages. Each section of the planner is tabbed to keep you organized, and it includes a rip-proof and waterproof cover to keep your dreams and records safe. The planner is also designed for the disc binding system, which allows the planner to grow with you, whether you want to see only one season at a time, all the seasons together, or even keep last year's notes right alongside so you can compare. This planner is $39, but as a listener of the podcast, you can get 15% off when you use the code PODCAST at checkout. Get yours now with a link in the show notes and be the most prepared you've ever been for next season. All right, so some of these things might be obvious. Some of them might not be. So before I get into some of the recipes and meal ideas that I have today, I want to talk about like the specific produce and veggies that I'm referring to when I talk about spring, because some of these things can come up really early. Some of these things take a little bit more time. And for some people, your growing season, like your spring season, might kind of blend into summer. That's kind of like how ours seems to be. So just to like clarify, the things that I am talking about today specifically are greens, any sort of greens that you can grow. Also, some of your early producing cabbages, maybe, so like pak choi. I know that I'm going to mention that a lot. Also Napa cabbage, sometimes that can be a more early developing cabbage. I have never had success, but anyways, green onions are also something that sometimes you can get this early in the season. I know for me, I have had trouble growing green onions quickly, but maybe not for you. Peas, that's another thing that I'm going to mention too. Mushrooms, and specifically morel mushrooms. Now, if you are not somewhere that has morel mushrooms growing, I'm sorry because they're so good, but we do have those here. And then another thing that is wild are ramps. These are wild onions. We are just about ready to start harvesting those here in Ohio. So I am going to mention those too. And then also some of the root vegetables like radishes and beets. So these are the kind of springy things that at least I enjoy. And so that's why I'm going to share these recipes with you. So as I said, some of these things are kind of like duh. So the first one are salads. Okay. If you listen to this podcast, you know that we love salads. If you are not a salad person, that is okay. I still love you. But I just want to mention salads here because salads do not have to be boring. And the nice thing about salads is that they can make an entire meal very quickly. And as you know, in spring, when we are transitioning into summer too, you need meals that are quick because you're doing so much stuff outside more often than not. So the specific salad that we have been falling back on at least once a week and is so satisfying is just a big old salad, lots of greens. Do whatever types of greens you like. For us, and what I like to grow are just a green like lettuce mix, just a, well, not specifically green, but just a lettuce mix of baby greens. I love arugula. My husband does too. And so we grow lots of arugula. And then also we love mustard greens as well. Those are our three go-tos. So we'll start out with a big base of that salad. And then what I will do is I will add a can of white beans, like cannellini beans or great northern beans. And then I will simply sear some shrimp in a skillet. And then we'll eat them on top of the salad. And the salad is simply dressed with just olive oil and balsamic vinegar, or maybe you could use apple cider vinegar or whatever you would like to use. But this salad, it is so satisfying. And especially after a day of doing like a lot of hard work outside, you want something that's kind of like light and refreshing sometimes, especially if it's warm out. And this salad is just so wonderful. So, so wonderful. But of course, you have to be a salad person. If you're not, that's okay. You can bypass that. The rest of the things that I'm going to be talking about are not just salads. Now, before I get to those, though, I do want to bring up the fact that salad greens, specifically mustards and arugula, you don't have to use them just in salads. Now, lettuces, obviously, you can put them on a burger, you can put them on a sandwich, whatever. But and I mean, you can put arugula and mustard greens on a sandwich too if you want. But I promise you that if you like arugula in your salad, you need to try it as a topping on your pizza or also pasta. I know that sounds kind of crazy. And like with the pizza, you're not putting the arugula in the oven. You're going to take your pizza out, let it cool for like a little bit, and then put your chopped up arugula on top, and it is delicious, and it's a super easy way to get that extra boost of greens. And I don't know about you, but in my garden, my arugula is so much taller than everything else. Like, I am purposely having to harvest that more. That way I can let my lettuce greens or my lettuces get some more sun. So it tastes delicious, chopped up on top of pizza and pasta. So while we're on the topic of pasta, that brings me to one of our favorite meals that we have once the morel mushrooms come in. So for us, that is like the end of April, beginning of May. And so when this episode releases, we're kind of like beginning-ish of April. But our favorite spring pasta dish includes those morel mushrooms and peas, which, who knows, maybe you might be getting those from your garden, maybe not. Ramps, which are those wild onions. We have those growing in our woods on our property, and we have a ton of them. Generally, when you harvest them, you want to be kind of careful and not over harvest just because it does take a long time for them to regenerate, and you can take too many. Now, we have so many in our woods, like there's no way in the world that we could take too many. But if you are in that situation, what you can do is just harvest the leaves of the ramp, the onion. And honestly, that makes it a lot easier on you too, because ramps, they generally are like pretty deep in the ground. So if you have them wild, try cutting off just the tops, and you can put them into your pasta sauce. Maybe if you have some basil that is frozen from the previous summers and olive oil, that would be a great combination with the ramps, and you can kind of make like a ramp basil pesto. And then if you have your peas and those morel mushrooms, and you can garnish it with some arugula, that is a delicious spring pasta recipe. So while I am kind of on the topic of ramps, which are those wild onions, if you are a big fan of them, what you can do is there's a few different ways that you can preserve them. Now, I will say ramps, we do like them, but they definitely have a very specific taste. It's kind of like how deviled eggs and smell, I should say. They have a definite smell to them too. It's kind of like how deviled eggs, like they smell, but they smell good if you know what they are. But if you don't know what they are, they kind of smell bad. That's kind of how ramps are. Like you don't really want to store them in your fridge for very long because your fridge will stink like ramps. Now, it's not necessarily a bad flavor, but it's definitely an earthy onion smell. And then the flavor is kind of similar, very earthy, oniony, somewhat garlicky. Like if I am ever making a dish like that pasta dish, if I'm using ramps, I will not add any extra onion and I will not add any garlic, because if you would, it would be like way too overwhelming. Now, the earlier you harvest your ramps in the season, the more mild they will be. Then of course, the later, the more pungent they will be. So as of right now here in Ohio, we are at the very early stages of the ramps being ready. And so there's a few different ways that you can use them. Like I said, you can make pesto, but here's kind of where I was going with this point. It's a very unique taste. You either like it or you don't like it. And if you do like it, you probably don't want it all the time. I made the mistake a couple years ago of making a bunch of ramp only pesto. So all I did was I put ramps, greens, and then also olive oil in my blender, and I froze it into cubes and stored it. Well, I still have a ton of that pesto left over. So I know that because the ramps are a very seasonal thing, they're only around for about a month or so, you feel like you want to preserve as many as you can. You know, you might not need to, because you might end up in the camp that I'm in now, where I have so many cubes of ramp pesto in my freezer. So last year, what I tried doing instead is I tried pickling the bases, like the onion bulby part of the ramps. And to be honest with you, I haven't used them. So I don't know. It is an option. Now, you could put them on a pizza or something like that, and it probably would be pretty tasty. It's just that I haven't. Now, the other thing that I tried last year too is I took those greens and I dried them and I turned them into a ramp powder. Now, this is pretty cool. I have used this before, but definitely not as much as I should have. So I guess my point here is that if you are like ramp crazy, go ahead and preserve all of them. But if you are new to the world of ramps, you know, maybe freeze like a few cubes of ramp pesto and that's it. Just like to dip your toe into it, just because they are definitely a very pungent flavor. Now, one thing that I did do very recently that I really liked was I made a dip out of the ramp greens. So again, we are in the early stages of ramps here in Ohio, and so that means that the greens are not as pungent right now. So what I did is I took a few cuttings of some leaves, I chopped them up really finely, and I added it to some homemade mayonnaise, some Greek yogurt, some lemon juice, and some salt. Black pepper probably would have been good in there too, but I just mixed it up, and it was kind of like a ranch sort of a dip, and we had it with some grilled chicken, and it was delicious. So that's another way that you could use those ramps in a different way. That's like, it wasn't too overpowering because again, they were baby, like they were younger. And it wasn't like the main focal point of the dish. So yeah, the ramps are very, very good, but it's not an acquired taste. It's just like, I don't know. Like I just don't want to eat it as much as I thought. Like it's cool to have during the springtime. It makes me feel like spring. It makes me think of the morel mushrooms, but I do not need to preserve any this year, I guess is what I'm saying, because I am stocked in my freezer. So We've talked about salad. We've talked about other uses for arugula and mustard greens. I mentioned that spring pasta, which led into the conversation of morel mushrooms and ramps. Oh, one thing that I do want to add, morel mushrooms. If you do get a great harvest of them, they dehydrate and rehydrate very well. I put them in my dehydrator after rinsing them out very, very well. And I just stored them in a jar. And gosh, we used that jar probably a couple months ago. So it wasn't like completely a year, but almost a year. And you simply just soak them in some warm water and they rehydrate super well to recreate that spring pasta, because I think I was craving that back in the winter. So after the break, I'm going to get into some more spring recipes. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Beauty Counter, the non-toxic and EWG verified skincare, makeup, and fragrance brand that I've been using since 2020. My clean beauty journey began about 15 years ago, but until Beauty Counter, I struggled to find products that were worthy of repurchasing, that were effective, and also worked with my super sensitive rosacean skin. In 2020, I turned 30 and decided to buy my first grown-up skincare products, and since my first Beauty Counter moisturizer, I've been hooked on the brand, and now most of my products are from them because of how effective they are. Beauty Counter is the epitome of the phrase, a little bit goes a long way. The other amazing thing about Beauty Counter and why I became a consultant is that the brand advocates for safer products in both the US and Canadian governments, helping to create laws to protect everyone from harmful ingredients. By shopping with a consultant, you get the perk of working with someone who knows the products inside and out, so you can get customized recommendations and samples before you make your investment in full-size products. This helps you from wasting money on things that don't work for you, end up in a drawer, and you can finally feel the best you've ever felt in your skin. Click the link in the show notes to shop Beauty Counter or send me a message on Instagram to request samples specific to your skin type and product preferences. So we've talked about the greens from spring, and now we're going to talk about the cabbages and the root vegetables. So the first thing that came to mind when I was making my list of what I wanted to talk about today was pho. So pho, if you are not familiar with it, or pho, it's spelled P-H-O, and this is a Vietnamese kind of a soup. And I made it for the first time just kind of on a whim during winter one time, and I bought all of the ingredients for it at that time, but it is delicious. It is a, well, the way that I make it, our preferred way to do it is I will put a pork shoulder or a pork roast in the Instant Pot, and I will pressure cook it and make a really good broth. Then I will take the meat out, I'll set it aside, and then all of the juices in there, you add lime juice, sriracha, soy sauce, and ideally ginger if you have it. And you make a really rich, pretty salty, tangy, semi-spicy broth. The broth is the big part of the dish. So if you get your broth right, you nailed it. But what's fun about this soup is all of the toppings that go on it. So I think that this dish is a perfect early spring meal, because maybe you got like a freak cold or something like that and you got kind of chilly. This dish, it tastes like spring because of the toppings, but it warms you up that way. It's so good. So good, especially if you make it with pork. We've tried making it with like chicken before and shrimp, and it's just, and doing like more of a vegetable based broth. And it's fine, but the pork definitely makes it so much better. So anyways, the toppings for this soup are radishes, which of course are a spring item, green onions, another potential spring item for you, and then also either Napa cabbage or pak choi. You can slice those up thinly and then put them in the salad. If you want, you could cook like the thicker parts of pak choi a little bit in the soup before you actually go to eat it. but you don't have to. And then you also generally have mushrooms in there. I would not put morel mushrooms in there just because they would be overpowered by the flavor of the broth, just because it is a very strong broth, because again, it has lime juice and sriracha and soy sauce. I generally will buy just like baby portobellas. You could be fancy and put shiitake mushrooms in there if you want to. But then the final garnish is cilantro. And of course, that is another spring herb. It likes cool weather. So all of those things are perfect in the pho. So again, make your broth, ideally pork, add your lime juice, add your soy sauce, add your sriracha, maybe some more water if you need to, ginger, garlic goes in there too. So you let it simmer, and then when you serve it, you'll take your broth, you'll put in your beef, you'll put in noodles if you want to. What we have discovered our best are just simple ramen noodles. Normally this dish is served with rice noodles, but I think that rice noodles are a pain because they always take longer to cook than they say. And then they get very sticky and like gloopy. And so what we have done is I found some like egg noodle ramen noodle pucks kind of a thing, like basically what you got back in college for like 5 cents. And you just pour your broth over those noodles and they do cook enough, and then they are delicious in the soup. So you have your noodles, your pork, and then you'll put your pak choy or your napa cabbage, your radishes, green onions, mushrooms, and cilantro, and it is so good and warms you up on one of those early spring nights. So the next thing that I want to talk about are stir fries. I feel like in my head there's like summer stir fries and spring stir fries or fall stir fries. The stir fry that I'm talking about today would include peas and pak choy and green onions. So this will be a green stir fry. But this is just a good idea, hopefully, for you to use up some of these spring veggies, because I know that right now I have a bunch of pak choy harvested. The meal that I'm going to be creating actually tonight is another one of our favorites for spring, but the only veggie that's in it is pak choy. What we will do is we will sear on the grill some ahi tuna steaks, and then we will grill the pak choys. And depending on how big they are, you might want to cut them in half, but if they're tiny, which is my preferred size of them, you can just stick the whole thing on the grill. We like to coat them in sesame or peanut oil, up to you, and you just grill them really quick, really, really quick. And of course, the tuna grills really quickly as well. And it just tastes delicious. And then what we will serve it with too is sesame rice. And then I will also make some sriracha mayonnaise. Green onions, of course, are a delicious topping on those, or also the stir fry. So, I love food. I really love food. I could talk about it all day. Okay, so I mentioned the pho, the stir fry, the tuna kind of a dish. And then I have two more things that I want to talk about. One of them are spring rolls. And the reason I want to mention these, I've only ever made them once, but I got some spring roll wrappers, and I actually made these in the summertime. And it is because I had an overabundance of frisée and I really didn't know what to do with it. So I looked up some recipes and it said that frisée, even though it's very bitter, it would taste good in a spring roll, and it was very yummy. But right now, at this time of year in spring, this would be more of an appropriate, I guess you could say, meal, having these spring rolls, because generally they have napa cabbage in them. If you don't have napa, you can put your pak choy in there. So that's something that I think I want to make this coming week too. But basically, you take your spring roll wrapper, you wet it, you put in all of your toppings. I like to put shrimp in mine, and then you just roll it up really well. The spring roll wrapper sticks to itself, and then you could make a fancy sauce if you want to. And that's just another like light meal. That's definitely more time consuming, I would say, than like that really big salad with shrimp that I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. But it is a good way to use up a lot of pak choy or frisée, let me tell you. Okay, and then the final thing that I want to mention uses beets. We love beets. Now, beets, I know that yes, you're planting them in the spring, but they probably won't be harvested until later. So this is kind of one of those meals that goes kind of into summer, like it blurs the line there. But I want to tell you about my beet salad. I love this salad. Now, sometimes I will throw tomatoes in there, depending on the time of year that we're in. But if you wanted to make this a strictly spring beet salad, what you would do is you would harvest your beets, you'll boil them, you will peel them, and then you will chop up the beets, throw them in a bowl. And then this is where you can get a little bit more, you know, creative, if you can say. Sometimes I will add goat cheese. That's delicious. Sometimes I will add the greens of my beets if I want some extra, you know, extra oomph in there. You could also put arugula or whatever excess green that you have in your garden. But basically, the dressing is just the balsamic vinegar and olive oil, salt and pepper. That goat cheese is a great, great pairing with the beets. And it's just a very delicious, easy salad to make too. The other thing that's nice about it is that you can boil and peel your beets in advance and then make the salad later. Like, you don't have to do it all at once. So yeah, those are like 8 or 9 or 10. I don't even know how many recipes I mentioned. But those are some of our favorite spring meals. So to summarize, salads, of course, that's an easy one. But I did specifically mention our quick go-to meal for those busy weeknights where I make a big old salad. I put a can of white beans on there, sear some shrimp, done. I also did state that there are some other uses for arugula and also mustards. Especially for us, arugula is growing way faster than everything else. And so I want to get in the habit of keeping a box of just arugula in my fridge. That way I can use it as a garnish in the morning, like with my eggs, or as I said, on top of pizza or pasta. Our favorite spring pasta meal uses frozen basil and olive oil from the previous summer. And then I mix that with with ramps, the wild onions that we have here. So I get an oniony kind of a pesto, and then I'll add peas, ideally from the garden, but sometimes frozen. And then also morel mushrooms. I mentioned some other ways to use up those ramps. But again, they're an acquired taste maybe, or a very specific taste. If you like them, awesome. Preserve as many as you want, but just remember that they're very pungent, and so you can get burnt out on them very quickly, but they do make a great pesto. You can turn them into a dip, you can dry them into powder, and you can also pickle them. So then I mentioned the pho recipe, which is that Vietnamese noodle soup that uses a pork broth base, at least the way that I make it. And then you add lots of yummy spring toppings like pak choy or napa cabbage, radishes, green onions, and then mushrooms. I also mentioned a stir fry where you could use your fresh pea pods, pak choy, green onions from the garden. And then I also mentioned the grilled pak choy. That's delicious, especially with sriracha mayo. Like, hello, homemade sriracha mayo is fantastic. And then I mentioned the spring rolls that you can load up with napa cabbage or pak choy. And then also beet salad, which I am so excited to make. But again, this is kind of a later spring, early summer dish because it does take a little bit for those beets to bulb up and be ready to harvest. So, oh, that was a lot of talking about food. I hope that this episode was helpful. I know that sometimes I get in cooking ruts, even though I love to cook, and like that's basically the reason that I wanted to try and grow all of our food is just because I love to cook so much. But, you know, when you do it every day, you can get in ruts and you can just kind of get trapped doing the same thing over and over. So hopefully this was some inspiration for you. That way you have an easier time using up your harvests from your spring garden. So that is it for today, and I will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Girly Homesteader podcast. If you liked this episode, please make sure to leave a rating and subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I'll talk to you next week, but until then, I hope you grow and flourish in all the ways that make you, you.